It is a wonderful thing that we can come here this day and that we can sing praises to our God who has given to us the means of the hope of eternal salvation with Him when this life is over. And thanks be to Him that He's given to us His Word that we can look at and apply in our lives and direct our lives so that we can glorify His name and respect His graciousness that He has delivered to us by the instructions that we have through the truth. And the great thanksgiving that we have to come together in like mind to worship our God and to be with brethren who have exactly the same goal. It is a blessing that we are here this day. We have visitors in our midst. We want you to know that you are our special guest. We invite you back every opportunity that you have to be with us. And that is not idle words. Not just something that we always say, even though we often say it, but it is absolutely true. We are in a series of lessons that I've been bringing on Sunday mornings concerning words in Scripture for different members of this congregation. We started out by looking at words in Scripture for the preacher, which I believe is a natural place to start whenever you're teaching members of the congregation. You start with the one that is delivering the word and making sure that the word is delivered. Understand the words that are there in description of that. And our main thought in connection with that was taken from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 2 through 4. And then after that, we looked at words in Scripture for shepherds, elders. And we looked at several passages of Scripture, but our main passages that we looked at were in connection with 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And now today, we are looking at words in Scripture that deals with deacons. And we have one deacon in this congregation. And if you think that you are being singled out, you are, because there is only one of you. But also remember this, there was only one preacher that I preached to that this congregation supports. So there's no personalities involved in this. We're looking at what God's Word says, the words that are used in Scripture concerning the work that you have undertaken to do as directed by the elders, and also not only by the elders, but also by the needs of this congregation. And these series of lessons are designed to make sure that we understand, and I'll just get to that point right now. Whether you preach, whether you are a shepherd, whether you are a deacon, or whether you are any of the members of this congregation, there is work for you to do. There is work assigned to you. There are qualifications that are given to you in being a child of God, in the way that you conduct your life and the things that you do, not only for yourself, but also for your family and for those round about you. I think that quite often we only think about the qualifications to be involved with the eldership, with shepherds. There's qualifications for each and every one of us. And today, though, we look specifically at this particular work. And I might use the word office. I'm going to ask forgiveness for that. But it is for clarification purposes. I understand that it's not a political aspect in connection with that. But for clarification purposes, that work, and we're going to see specifically what that work is. If I happen to use that word, I ask forgiveness. But I only use it in connection with not a corporate idea, but in connection with one that is recognized by a congregation as being deacon. When we look in Scripture, first of all, I want to start out with some words, some initial words, and I will just let you know, this will be for every group that I address from this point forward, these initial words. So you'll see this several more times. We have shepherds in this congregation, as God designed congregations to be organized. We are organized by divine organization in this congregation, given in Scripture. We see that, of course, in Acts 14:23, whenever Paul and Barnabas were on their first preaching journey, and after getting to the end of that journey, going back through Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium, and the other congregations that they had established during that preaching journey. It says, and when they appointed for them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. We see that was the organization that was designed. And the same thing, Paul had been at Crete, but he left Titus there so that he could set in order things that were lacking in connection with the organization of the church, and that was the appointment of elders or shepherds in every congregation. And so we are organized with shepherds the way that God has designed the local body to be organized. And deacons, you need to understand that. These men that serve as shepherds were chosen by you, deacons. Understand that. When we look at 1 Timothy 3 and verse 10, when it says, let these also first be proved in connection with your work, it also relates back to the way that the shepherds were chosen, in that there was an approval. And the deacon that we have serving now in this congregation was part of that process of looking at these men with ample opportunity to look at the qualifications, whether they met them or not, and the recognition by the deacons and really by all of us as we're going to be seeing is that we chose them. We chose them. And I say this once again, and I've repeated this before, and I will as we go through each of these series. Even if you came into this congregation after the appointment of shepherds and deacons, you knew who was going to be ruling and was going to be directing the work in the congregation here in this congregation, and who was serving in that appointment of deacon. And you did not have to place membership in this congregation if you didn't agree with it. Amen. But you did, so therefore, in essence, you chose them also. You are to submit, deacons, to the righteous rule of these shepherds. When we look in Hebrews 13, chapter and verse 7, also in verse 17, the writer says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You look unto these shepherds that lead and direct us as examples of what a true Christian is to be. In verse 17 of that same chapter, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this. Get this point, and it's not only for the deacon, but for each and every one of us. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would not be of advantage to you. And I will just take your minds back for a moment whenever Israel was released from bondage in Egypt. And immediately on getting on the other side of the sea, the murmuring and the complaining started and continued really throughout the years. There was never satisfaction. Even the leadership of Moses was called in question by Korah in Numbers, the 16th chapter, and also by several other men that were there. God made answer to that. The point that's being made here is that there is submission. God has placed in this congregation shepherds to lead and direct and tend this flock. Recognize that. You are not in any way to jeopardize the reputation of these men we have recognized in this work of shepherd. And we see that in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 19. Do not accept an accusation against an elder unless it is supported by two or three witnesses. And we understand that truth, there was always a call for the verification of truth, even going back under the old law. No man was to be put to death at the accusation of one, except at the accusation, rather, of two or three witnesses. And Jesus talks about that, of course, in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 18 through 20, in connection with determining the truth. The fact is that we are to recognize these shepherds. Deacon, you are to recognize these shepherds as the leader of the flock, and you protect their reputation. And I will tell you, congregations have been destroyed because that has not been followed. That has not been adhered to. A little bit of murmuring, discontent here and there, picking just a few words, placing doubt in the minds of people and so forth. congregation, each and every one of us, deacon and each and every one of us, if we hear any of that, we are to say at that time, very straightforward, stop. If you have something to say against a shepherd, let's get somebody else in here so it can be said, so that every word then is verified, and then we will talk to the one that is being accused. Put it to a stop if that takes place. Do not let it go. That is the best way to bring a congregation down to its knees and destroy it. Any negative action or attitude toward these men without due cause is casting accusation against God. But not only that, it is also an accusation against your wisdom in choosing them. Now I'm going to relate this back, and you may think this is an odd passage to use, but I'm going to relate this back to 2 Kings 2, 23 and 24. It says there, later Elisha left there to go up to Bethel, and as he was traveling along the road, some insignificant young men, let me just stop there for a moment, some of your versions say young children. And God has been accused over the years by this passage and by unfortunate translations talking about killing children that made fun of a bald man. That's not what he did. As a matter of fact, in Bethel, there was a school of prophets that were there. And if you remember, Bethel was one of the places that Israel of the northern 10 tribes had placed one of the golden calves to worship. They were not respecters of God's authority. That's the point to this. So these insignificant young men came from the city and started mocking him. They told him, get on up, Baldy, get on up. And he looked behind him, took note of the young man, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Suddenly two female bears emerged from the woods and mauled 42 of the young men. Why? Because they spoke against one that God had placed in position of leadership. There's the principle that we get from this particular passage. It's not about God killing children. It's about God showing retribution to those that will not respect his authority. I will tell you that a like passage is there in that we need to understand is in the New Testament, Galatians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Neither are the leaders of those that are in a congregation chosen by divine authority through God's word into an organization by that which is set forth by God, neither are they to be treated that way. And deacons, you need to remember that. But not only deacons, this will be repeated for each and every one of us as we go through these lessons. So let's look at some of the words that we have for deacons in this congregation. 1 Timothy 3, verse 13. Paul says there, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Serve well as deacons is one of the words that is, or phrases that is used here. We'll break down these words. The word serve, diakoneo, in the Greek, is used in connection with that service that is given to be a servant, an attendant, whether it be domestic, to serve, to wait upon, to minister to one, render ministering offices to minister, supply food and necessities of life, to relieve one's necessities, to provide, take care of, distribute the things necessary to sustain life. That is the main thought of that word serve as we look in the New Testament. We see the word well that is used there also, kalos in the Greek. Beautiful, fine, excellently, well. And it's talking about of noble and commendable action in the service. And Paul is saying that both of these must be involved. That is commendable and noble action in the service that deacons enter into when they enter into that work. Notice this with me. Go back to Acts 6, chapter verse 2 through 4. It may be that you do not believe that these were deacons that were chosen by the congregation there in Jerusalem. Others of you say, yes, they are deacons. That's beside the point. We're looking at the principle that is brought forth concerning these men and the conditions that were present at that time in their appointment to the work. And I want you to note this, their appointment to the work that existed at that time.
keep that thought in mind. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Acts 6, chapter verse 2 through 4. The 12, speaking of the apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, wherever he says, summoned the full number of the disciples, that was going to be, at this time, at least 3,000. Excuse me, 8,000. Because we're past Acts, the 5th chapter, aren't we? At least 8,000 brethren at this time. The full number of the congregation was being summoned together in connection with what existed and needs that were there in this congregation. And they said to the disciples, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Lest you think that being full of the Spirit only deals with that which is miraculous in nature, we are told in Luke, the 2nd chapter, concerning John the Baptizer, that even before he was born, while he was in the womb, he was already full of the Spirit. And then when we go over to John, the 10th chapter, in verse 41, it tells us there, John did no signs or no miracles, but yet he was full of the Holy Spirit. So it's not talking about that which is miraculous in nature. It's talking about an attitude. An attitude of being filled with the Spirit, looking unto God for direction in life. Looking unto God to make sure that what we do, we have authority for. And deacons, that should be your attitude also, being full of the Spirit in that sense. And then he says, pick out from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty. And that duty was those that were left out of the daily distribution that is mentioned in verse 1. It was the Grecian widows. The Hellenistic widows that were left out of the distribution. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. There's some principles that we want to get out of this. Make sure that deacon, you understand what it is about your work that you are to do. And elders, you need to understand also. And the congregation, you need to understand also from the principles that we see described to us here, I believe, in Acts 6, chapter verses 1 through 4. First of all, serve well being the key words of the identifier of your work. Serve well. I can tell you that I have talked to several different preachers and several different elders. And one of the elders who also served as a preacher said to me, just what is it that a deacon is to do? What is his work? And then others have said, you know, we have deacons, but we just can't get them to do anything. And then others will say, well, you know, we have deacons, and I'm talking about elders. We have deacons, but I hate to ask them to do anything. Well, let me tell you, if you hate to ask them to do anything, what is their purpose? And if you don't know what their work is, why do you have them appointed? What is the reason that they are there? Notice this with me. Serve well is the key. And we look at Romans 12, chapter verse 6 through 7. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, that is teaching there. And I don't care if you're talking about miraculous gifts, if you're talking about that which we have the ability to do, this passage applies. And then he says, if service, verse 7, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. Deacons, you were chosen for a service, for a work in which you are to serve, which is incumbent by the understanding of the word that describes what it is that you are to do. Understand this, just as it is with preacher, and just as it is understood with those that are shepherds, those are not titles. There are no titles in the Lord's church. They are descriptors of the work that you have agreed to enter into. One of the elements of a deacon's work is not only to relieve those in need by serving. Watch this. That certainly is prevalent within the principle that is involved there in Acts 6, chapter verses 1 through 4. It's not only about that physical service to those that are physically needing in the congregation. Watch this. But also relieve the elders. What do you mean? What do you mean relieve the elders? Go back to Acts 6 chapter. Verse 3, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good report, filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Why were they able to do that? Because the deacons relieved them from the physical activity of the needs that were involved in the congregation. Elders, do not be ashamed to put work on the deacons. That's what they are there for. Elders don't have the attitude of, well, I hate to ask them to do anything. That's why they're there. Deacons understand that you are there for the purpose of relieving not only the congregation, but also the shepherds so that they can spiritually lead the flock. Think about it this way. And we'll get to that point. Let me get to that point first. There is no list of work given in Scripture as tasks that deacons perform. God didn't send down a form page, a Excel form sheet with all the list of the work so that the church and the elders can go by, okay, well, the deacon's doing this, I'll check that out. No, he didn't do that. There's principles involved in connection with your work. And what's in connection with that is need. Need. No list of work given in Scripture as tasks that deacons perform. We have the above example as principles that would apply to the work of deacon. Notice this. There must be work for deacons to do. If there is no work, all there is then is a title. So then the office or the work of deacon should not be filled. I had one brother in a congregation where we appointed elders. And when we appointed elders, it was exactly as it was here. For a long time, there were no deacons. And one of the brethren came to me and said, you know, I don't think we should have an eldership. I said, well, why is that? I said, well, we don't have deacons. If you remember in the presentation concerning the work of elders, concerning the work of shepherds, understand this, that there is never an occasion, there's never a situation where spiritual leadership is not needed. It always exists. That is not the case necessarily with deacons. Congregation have appointed men as deacons without any work or consideration of work or need that existed within the congregation. So all you have are men that sit there and do nothing, but yet have the title. So they are really not deacons. They are really just men with titles. And that is not approved by God. Shepherds, coming back to you one more time. If you can't think of anything, any work for any of the deacons to do, then unapprove them because they are not serving the way that God would have them to serve. Unapprove them, remove their name from that work, that office, and again, I apologize for that word, but for clarity, I wanted to use it. Unapprove them of that work, that office, because they're not fulfilling what God said they should fulfill. And elders, if you do things that are physical in nature and don't think that you need relieving, you look back to Acts 6 chapter verses 1 through 4 and you understand what your priorities are. You are there to be involved in spiritual matters and care for the souls of each and every individual in this congregation. Deacons, you are to relieve then those elders so that they can do that. That is part of your work. We also see here in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 13 that deacons can gain a good standing. That means to lay by, to preserve for oneself. And that's what the Greek word there means. And when we look in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, Paul says, God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And I recognize that as general in nature, but I also see, of course, as we do in all things, in being Christian, that there's an application there for deacons also. But you're not going to have that unless you're doing the work. You're not going to gain a good standing if you're not doing the work that you were assigned to do. Elders, do not hold back the deacons. And I know this is about deacons, but you're going to fit in with every presentation that we make. Do not hold back a deacon by not assigning him work that needs to be done. Deacons, recognize the work that is there for you to take over. It goes hand in hand. That is the forward attitude that should be seen by those that are filled with the Spirit. I'm not talking about miraculous gifts. but filled with the Spirit, wanting to do the Lord's work. So many times I think that there's a misunderstanding because of this statement there in 1 Timothy 3 verse 13 that deacons gain to themselves a good standing, where it is thought, well, this is just nothing more than training ground for becoming an elder. And I will tell you, there are men that have served as deacon first and then later on became shepherds in a congregation. But there are also those that serve as deacons that will never have the qualification to serve as a shepherd. Focus on the work. Focus on the work. The gaining of the good standing is through the performing of the work of the deacon that you are chosen to, not with a prospective view of becoming something that you are not, but rather serving unto what you are. That is a servant of the congregation and a servant of the shepherds in this congregation. We see also 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11. I think it's needful to bring this out, even though we're going to consider four more lessons or so, we're going to consider the younger women of this congregation. There's something specific that is here that we see in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11 that goes in connection with the work of deacon. And it says, Paul says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11, their wives, in reference to the deacons, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. And I think that there's a reason that Paul, through the Spirit, focused in on the wives of deacons. And we'll get to that point as we go through this. But being faithful, that is, in all matters, pistos pas, in all matters, being trusty and faithful, one who kept the plighted faith, worthy of trust, that those that can be relied on, is in connection with these words of the wives of deacons being faithful in all things. I understand where it says their wives likewise. Also, we would refer back to all wives, even shepherds' wives or elders' wives. But you have it very specific here for a very specific reason. Follow along with me on these thoughts. Faithful in all things. Paul said in the marriage relationship in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 22, and also in verse 24, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And again, this shows that faithfulness, because it is not addressed to men to make sure that they correct their wives in a physical way to have them submit to them. The admonition is given to the wives, not to the men, in order to submit. But then the quality of that submission is mentioned right here in verse 22. You submit to Christ, to the Lord. Verse 24 of Ephesians 5 says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives, you should submit in everything to your own husbands. And he's talking about in the Lord in connection with this. Those that are faithful husbands in the Lord in following what they would have them to do. And I understand the marriage relationship, that wives are to be submissive to their husbands, with the exception when their husbands refuse then to allow them to follow God. And I recognize that. Titus 2 verses 4 and 5. We'll be doing an entire lesson on young women. But notice this here. So train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, and the word of God, so that the word of God may not be reviled. And understand from this that usually, not always, but usually, those who are recognized for the work as a deacon in a congregation are usually some of the younger men. Not always, but many times that is the case. And so you have admonition then to young women that must be adhered to, and specifically called out by Paul in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11 to be a focal point of their attitude, not only in service unto God, but also in backing to their husbands that are serving as deacons. 1 Peter 3 verses 3 through 6 tells these women, don't let your adorning be external, but let your adorning be hidden persons of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You are her children, spiritually that is, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening.
Wives, the deacons of wives are an integral part of the work of the deacon. Not only for that which is positive, but it can also be a negative if they're not careful. Although all women, elders, wives, young and old women are instructed in Scripture, deacons' wives are directly addressed, and the reason being is the need to temper youth in most cases. There is a tendency, if there is not a spiritual attitude that exists in a family, where a man is recognized as a deacon in a congregation, for there to be in youth a puffed up attitude in that. And Paul warns against that by the teaching of these other scriptures. Deacons' wives, by your faithfulness to the Lord and to your husband and to his work, there will be growth in the congregation. And that's exactly what Paul says there. Faithful in all things. And we'll see that as we go on. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And just as it is for the shepherds, they cannot do the work alone without the wives. The same thing is true for the deacons. They cannot do the work alone unless there is support by the wives, which leads then to a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 13. Notice with me that word confidence. Freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech, being open and frank, free and fearless confidence, cheerful and courageous, bold, with bold assurance. The faith. And there he's talking about that system of faith that is given to us through God's word. He's not talking about our personal faith in connection with matters, but rather it is the faith that was once delivered for all, as Jude says in verse 3. That faith, that conviction of the truth. When we look in Acts 6, chapter verse 9 through 10, we see this working in the life of at least one man. And as a matter of fact, we can call more than one man to as an example of this. But in Acts 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, "And then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it is called, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen." Remember, he was one that was chosen out back there in Acts 6 chapter. He was full of faith, if you remember that. As a matter of fact, it's going to somewhat repeat that again. "But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he was speaking." He had confidence because he was a believer in God. He took a stand for the faith. I want to really impress upon the minds of the deacons that that is so needful. And what happens in congregations where there are those that enter into the flock that are seeking to destroy it quite often? They will not come forth in a way that is not privately. That's how they enter in secret. And they work behind the scenes. And they'll not go to the leadership initially to work their ungodly ways. But what they will do is that they will start out to seek who it is that they may listen to. And what is best in the situation is those that are recognized in any way by a congregation, whether it be an elder or a deacon, that would be a crown jewel for them to gain in their teaching of falsehood to try to subvert the souls of a congregation and lead them away from the Lord. Deacons, you must stand firm for the faith. You must adhere to the teaching of God's word. You are to present those things that edify the body of Christ in your speech and give glory unto God. And anything other than that, you're not doing the work that you were chosen to do. You don't really have the confidence that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 3, 11 and 12. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. You are to have that.
Not confidence of self, but confidence in the faith, producing a blameless reputation. With a pure conscience, that would assure confidence of attitude. We see that in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 9. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. This expresses the spirituality of a deacon. If a deacon is not spiritual, even though he's doing a work that quite often relieves a physical need, if it is without spirituality, he should not be a deacon. He must do so from the spirituality standpoint. Deacons, by your stand for truth and the lead of the shepherds that they give to each and every one of us, any voices of discontent then will vanish. And that's the reason that Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10 through 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God, of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, deacons, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we think about this and the work that the deacon does and your work that you have said that you wanted to do, you have an important responsibility in this congregation. Again, it's not only the relief of those that are in physical need, but it's the relief to the shepherds as they lead this flock to make sure that they can focus in on, without other outside peripheral things taking place, the spiritual needs of this congregation down to every soul. That's an extremely important work. You cannot be at ease or grow complacent in your responsibility. And so I urge the deacon of this congregation, look at the work that needs to be done and take it over. That's the serving that you are to do. You must continue to grow as a Christian and as a deacon. There are so many that have gained this so-called title and have said, well, I can now check the box. I've reached the end. That's as far as I want to go. I'll sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? No. There's supposed to be continued growth. By performing your responsibility, there is great reward. Such a great reward in the service that you do. And I want to end it as I did with the shepherds. Thank you. Thank you for your attitude. Thank you for your desire to work. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for following the leadership and the care and concern in the care and concern of this congregation.
Amen.
Maybe those present here this morning, though, that we present this to, we're not here to play church. We're not here to place titles upon men. We don't have the authority to do that. God didn't do that. We're not here to do that. We're here to serve God, and we're to look to God's word in the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we organize, the way that we live. And maybe those here that have not been saved from their sins, they're in a lost condition. And I'll tell you, even though this is not the only time, this is a very appropriate time. If you want to make a change in your life because you understand that Christ Jesus died for you upon the cross and you want to make that change, it says, I'll no longer serve self, but I'll serve God. And you want to make that commitment to Him by naming the name of Christ, there's no better time than now to be baptized in remission of your sins. Again, it's not the only time, but we don't know that we have any more time. And then if there are those here that have not been serving God as they should, and you look back to what God has put in place for you by the proclaiming of God's word, by those men that serve as shepherds to watch over your soul, by those that will help to care for your needs, whether it be that which is physical and especially spiritual, God has put in place, in order, everything that is needed for your benefit. And you've not been living that Christian life for your benefit. The way back is to come unto Him, confessing your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. God has ordained this congregation and every congregation that is like it, that look unto God in its organization and in its work. Let's each and every one of us make sure that we're doing our work. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.